Welcome back. It's season two of HugeCast. Like many of you, we're having to do things a little differently here at HugeCast HQ, which means we're recording our guests remotely instead of in our own studio, so you might notice a sound difference. But what hasn't changed is that we have some of the best guests to sit down and have a chat with us. Hold on to your hat, and welcome to HugeCast Season 2.
What's the name of this podcast?
Eugene Cast.
How am I supposed to pronounce that?
OIGcast.
A huge cast.
Huge cast.
You're listening to
HugeCast.
That's right, you're listening to HugeCast. Today I'm speaking with Elliot Martinez. Elliot was the host of the Elliot Martinez Late Night Talk Show. He is the host of Thirsty Thursdays on KWVA. And he has been called Mr. Third Place due to him being third place in the Eugene Weekly's Best of Eugene. So if you're looking for the third place, third best bartender or third best radio show host or third best writer, we've got him here right now. Elliot has been the host of the Mr. and Mrs. Whitaker pageants, and he currently hosts an online trivia show called Quality Trivia. Welcome, Elliot.
Nice to see you, Adam. Thanks for having me on the show there.
Hey, well, you know, I'm glad you could make it. I really wanted to speak with you because you, of all the folks that I know here in town that had an active, thriving social entertainment business, you're probably one of the folks who has been impacted the most over the last year. And I was really curious to find out a little bit about how things were going before the pandemic and what you ended up doing when you changed up. Obviously, people visiting bars and doing trivia, not something that's happening quite a bit.
You know, it was pretty scary. Adam, I'm not going to lie to you. So we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary. I think my last show as the pandemic started to kind of take off was March 13th. Of last year. And
where was it? Where was the show at? Was it at
Chad and I were doing a Chad Kishuba.
Yeah.
We were doing a bingo show at Viking Braggot in South Eugene there. And we knew it was lurking. Like we could get shut down and any day and who knows for how long. I mean, we were thinking 2 weeks. To flatten the curve, as it were.
Right. I think I was thinking that same thing.
Let me tell you, I was hosting six shows a week back then.
Oh.
And I had three people kind of subcontracted working for me doing shows around the state. So nine shows a week. Probably looking at my best self-employed income ever, and then overnight, nothing.
God damn. What did you, like, so when when it all went down, did you go, did you immediately, or was it after that first 2 weeks where you're like, this shit ain't ending? This is not.
Well, I'm trying to think. It's been a while. It's been about 10 years.
It feels like it's been about 10 years.
So I remember thinking that it was just going to be for a couple weeks.
Right.
You know, and being the fiscally responsible adult I am, I figure I can make it at least 2 weeks. That's that's not going to be a big dip into the emergency savings.
Oh, you have an emergency savings. Okay, wonderful.
And then it was looking like, it might be more than 2 weeks. It might be more like 3 months, say.
Okay. So you were thinking, if I can make it through the summer.
It's getting into June.
Right.
And so I backtrack a little bit. My business partner, Clyde, and I, we had been already in talks about, coming up with our new business model. How are we going to expand Quality Trivia in the region? We were talking about being regional with this and had to completely start over with our and by June we figured out we had some new tools at our disposal. Here we get Zoom became a ubiquitous thing that everybody knows how to use now, and you know, Google Docs and stuff. We just use the tools that were available to us, and now we and by I think it was in about mid June we started doing the online version of the show.
How was it received when you first started up? Or did you have trouble getting people to know that you were doing it, or
you know, we had such a great following already, and I was getting emails every day like, you guys should do an online show, or how can we play some trivia? We want to play some trivia. People were thirsty for some trivia.
Yeah.
And so it's never been, since we've started, we average 7 teams to, you know, 9 teams a show.
Of about 3 to 5 people in each team, yeah.
Or 6 or more sometimes. Sometimes it's what's been great about it, Adam, is that, because I've had a lot of I've been doing trivia for 10 years now.
Right.
And people come and go. You know, a lot of grad students, they graduate and they move on. Well, this given some of our old teams that have split up all around the country a chance to get back together with their old teammates.
Okay.
And play some trivia, regardless in what time zone they're, you know, what part of the country they're in, and not have to, and you know, not be in the same room with each other, and still get to hang out with their old friends. And I think it's been therapeutic for me. I can only imagine everybody else.
How far away are some of the people coming in from now?
Regularly, I think we got some Chicago, Delaware area. Yeah. Not Chicago, Delaware. I've never been there. Is that a place?
I'm sure there is a Chicago, Delaware.
I think we've had some international teams as well. At least Canada international.
So now you're internationally renowned.
Well, I always have been. I mean, Booze Week International.
Oh, that's right. Booze Week. It was an international.
It was an international magazine.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Okay, so in June you started doing online events, and they started kind of catching on. Were you doing 6 a week like you were before?
No,
or what?
Not at all. I'm still only doing 1 show a week.
Okay.
But you know, I've taken this time to now my wife's working from home. And my son is not in preschool,
right?
School. So I'm a childcare provider, and you know,
and high trivia five, master,
fiver, trivia master,
right? Celebrity chef.
Have you had my barbecue?
I have, and I gotta say, I was kind of sad to hear that you weren't gonna go forward with the meat company.
Oh yeah. Oh man. But the flagship meats, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking forward to some freaking smoked meats from the kitchen of Elliot Martinez. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you just have to wait.
I can hook you up. I still make it.
We'll take that off. We'll take that offline. So in June you were starting to do a show a week. It was starting to catch on.
And I should mention that on top of the weekly show, I've also been doing a lot of private shows for, you know, corporate parties, you know, that kind of thing, but also benefit shows for the Eugene and Springfield Libraries, Planned Parenthood, Southern Oregon, and, you know, raising some money for some good causes.
Right. Well, so when you do those benefit shows and stuff like that, why do those organizations, why are they wanting to do this? Are these the kinds of organizations that used to hire you to come in when it was in person, or is this something new?
It's got. I mean, we've done some benefit shows in the past, but it was kind of more serendipitous. Like the venue we were at was doing a pint night for a cause or something, and,
right.
and we just happened to be there. And we're like, you've got an MC that you're already, you know, are paying to have on the mic there. Might as well get him to chat about the
right
the benefit as well. We did, yeah. We've done one for Eugene Libraries before that, and Women in Timber.
Okay. So, last year we had the passing of Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
And were you on the short list to replace him, or what was the deal there? Was that just a rumor?
It was on the long list. Far down.
Yeah, a little ways so down.
I have to admit, there were moments where I just imagined what it would be like to be, you know, to try to fill those shoes.
To fill Alex Trebek's shoes, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would be tough.
It really would be.
Well, the guy that's in there now, he's doing okay. I don't know where he came from, though.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, he's somebody I look up to, and I try to emulate some of his, really some of his intonations in question asking.
Really?
Oh yeah, because he's such a clear and concise, question asker. And he inflects at the right time in the phrase whenever you ask a question.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Elliot. What got you into doing the trivia?
Oh, so I was doing the radio show.
Okay.
At the time, Thirsty Thursdays back on
Thirsty KDFA. Thursdays, KDFA. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is probably right around 10 years ago. And my friend Mike from 16 Tons Cafe there, he said that he's had a trivia show going already.
Right.
That, a woman that was working there had started. But she got her dream job and moved back east. Right.
Okay.
And he says, the trivia show's going pretty good. Do you think you'd like to host it? I was, absolutely. I'll do it. That sounds fun. And that was, probably one of the longest running trivia shows in Eugene. I think even Mr. Bill's, I don't know exactly how long his was at Rogue for.
Right.
But, continuously, it was probably pretty close.
Well, nobody ever went to Rogue.
Are you kidding me? When I think... I went to it, probably mid 2000s or so, and Rogue, the Trackdown Brewery there, that was a pretty big place.
Yeah.
Packed to the gills.
Packed.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the summer progressed and you were getting more comfortable with the online thing, were you able to get by as far as financially, or was it still kind of like...
So let me tell you that. So it was pretty unclear what kind of aid at the state or federal level was going to be available for self-employed people such as myself, entertainers and...
Right, artists and...
Yeah. Yeah. And I was on call with the unemployment department for hours at a time sometimes, and it would just, you know, after about four hours, it would just kick me off, that kind of thing. It was so disheartening, and you know, we really did. We budgeted. We like tightened the street. We just bought a house out here in Springfield, and you know,
mm-hmm.
we really tightened the budget up as much as we could. Right. And you know, we were. You know, not to get too into financials, but we did have emergency savings set aside for exactly an emergency, and we weren't really tapping into it too much. I'm not even sure that we did. But
did you ever get any kind of unemployment?
I did. Finally, I was in July, end of July. I was on hold for 5 hours, finally talked to somebody, and they said, oh, yeah, it looks like we just needed to check this box right here. You should see a check in a couple of days.
Well, that's good.
And there was
because you went from 6 to 9 shows a week to 1 show.
Yeah.
That's a huge impact. And you probably weren't making anywhere near as much money.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because it's all tips.
It is now. I mean, back then it wasn't tips at all. It was, you know,
right. Tips were part of it, but you'd get paid by a venue to come in and host a show.
Yeah.
And now you are your own venue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you notice any decline in people when they first started coming in June and doing the online stuff? Did you find that some people just were like, oh, no. This is I'm going to have to wait until I can do this in person.
Yeah. So there's some people I talk to that like, you know, I'm on Zoom all day. Last thing I want to do is get on another Zoom call, or I don't want to be on my computer at all ever. That's not the style.
Yeah.
My style. But that's the minority. I think people really were excited to hear that there was trivia again and jumped on it. We are having a little bit of a trouble getting the word out so we can get some new folks in that never heard of the trivia. And that's part of our move going forward. I don't know that the online format is ever going to go away. But I think that people are really excited for when everything does open back up.
Do you think that there's always going to be an opportunity, or that you're in the future going to need to do like a hybrid thing where you're doing a live show and at the same time there are online people as well? Or is that always going to be one or the other?
It's one of the ideas in the hopper. I mean, and wouldn't that be kind of cool where everybody's in their local haunt, but they're playing against, you know, the rival, the rival bar, in a neighboring city or something, and playing for larger prizes.
That means, right. So you're talking about simulcasting, exactly. Basically,
yeah.
To other venues, the quality trivia show.
Right. And then the venue, is a subscription based at that point.
Right. Yeah. How would you? Yeah. Well, there's ways. Did you notice an uptick in audience members during the holiday time, you know, from the November through December? Because, you know, that's a big time for the local clubs and everybody, you know, coming back from their holidays or their college, first couple years of college, and all of a sudden they're back. And did you see a lot more people?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a busy time normally. Especially, you know, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is always my biggest show of the year.
How was it this year?
It was great. People want a chance to be together. And, even if that's online on a trivia show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I did, trivia right around that time period. I was actually, I think it was more around Labor Day.
You celebrate Labor Day in your family pretty heavily.
I only remember it was Labor Day because that was the day the fire broke out.
Oh, yeah.
Up in the McKenzie. And I was in Wyoming, and it snowed a foot.
Wow.
And it was weird to see all the photos of everybody back in Eugene posting photos of the smoke inundating the valley.
It was horrible.
I know. I came back right in the middle of it. I don't know why. I was like, oh, I think I'll drive home. This sucks.
I told you, we bought a place out in Springfield. We're way out Thurston.
Uh-oh.
And so we were at level 3 evacuation. And I, Adam, so my CPAP machine was the only thing keeping me alive. I hadn't been using it. I started using it at night. And I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, this is fine. I would take it off and there'd be visible smoke in my house.
Like, ugh.
And there was points where, I mean, I wasn't that afraid of fire actually reaching us, but just the smoke inhalation was, I thought that was going to get me. I thought that was going to kill me.
I think you weren't alone. I mean, this town was gnarly. This whole valley was just, oh, it's horrible. Yeah. So did you, I don't know why
the show went on. The show went on. The
show went on.
I did the show.
Where were you? Did you have to evacuate?
No, I never did have to evacuate. I eventually did. I mean, my son and my wife went to my parents' house out in Corvallis to at least had like decent air filtration, air conditioning.
Right.
I did order an air purifier. It showed up the day after the smoke cleared. Perfect.
That's good.
Perfect time.
Well, you know, funny thing, I was driving through Boise, and I was talking to my wife on the phone, and she said that people were buying box fans and putting 12 by 12 or 24 by 24, 2 foot by 2 foot filters in front of the box fans.
Yeah, and taping them on.
That sounds like a good idea. And she said, but the problem is you can't find an air filter or a box fan anywhere in town. So I stopped off at the Costco in Boise.
Loaded
picked
your car
up three
up
box fans and about a half a dozen filters. You know?
Pawned them off.
And then rolled into town.
Yeah.
No. We built them at the house, and then I gave a couple out, and it was nice to be able to, like, you know. But when I was coming up over the hill, I was driving down from Burns to Bend, and by the time I got to Bend, you couldn't even see in front of you, right? And I was like, I should just turn around and head back because this is just it's horrible. But that's beside the point. Back onto the trivia thing. Onto the entertaining. So here we are heading into this new year. Well, I guess we're already almost through February. Jeez. What is the big plan for the next 3 months for Quality Trivia?
Well, let's see. March 12th, we have another cooperative fundraiser with Planned Parenthood. Oh, we had a pretty good turnout for the last one. They invited us back for a couple more.
Well, that means that it worked, you know.
And then
you're doing trivia every Wednesday?
Every
or Thursday?
Wednesday night. 6:30 is kind of the check-in time. We start the show at 7.
And do people have to come? Do they have to come as a team, or can they come individually and join a team?
Most, 98% of the time, I'd say, people already have their teams set up. However, right. I've had some people drop in and say, "Hey, I don't have a team. I can play by myself," which is totally fine. If I can kind of get a sense and I can maybe pair them up with a team that is, would be, most teams are very, very welcoming. So.
Right. Right. So how does the trivia work? I mean, you said you were using Zoom and Google Docs and Venmo and all kinds of...
So qualitytrivia.com, that's our website. And on the schedule, you'll see the schedule of events and shows for the week. You can sign up for the trivia for the newsletter if you like, and then give you a kind of a what's happening this week. But you can click on the on the day, and it'll give you the password and room ID code for the Zoom. You jump on there. It's around 6:30. You change your screen name to whatever your team name is going to be. And so would everybody else on your team. And then I put you into breakout rooms. And then once the show starts, I ask the questions. I put you in your breakout room. And I've given somebody on your team a link to Google Doc, which is your answer entry form. And it's pretty clear where to type in your answers. And then I score them live. And give you up to date scores throughout the show. Show takes about a couple hours.
And you run all this by yourself. Like you'll run a session and you're sitting at home, and you got all these people and they're zooming in and they're marking things on documents.
First few shows was a little iffy, but I got two monitors. I have about, six windows open. What's it like a fifth generation iPad with a customized playlist, like running through a mixer, which is going at USB out to the, it's an ordeal.
Yeah. And were you a technically proficient individual? Did you consider yourself to be comfortable with that stuff?
I felt like I was up until 1998. And then, Windows 98 came out and, changed the world. This is where I'm going to duck out. But, I can do some sound. I do the live show. In fact, I'm doing a live show in Cottage Grove every once in a while on Thursdays at the Covered Bridge Brewery. New brewery in Cottage Grove, and it's all outside and with the tents and the masks and the what have yous. It's going pretty good, but there you go. I've got some portable sound, a mixer and a pen and paper.
And so one of the things that a lot of people talk about when it comes to trivia is that depending on who the host or the company is that's putting it on, the clues or the trivia can sometimes be rather obscure. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that your trivia was really out there.
That's the real trick in writing a question, trivia question. You want it to be difficult enough that you've got to talk about it and maybe second guess yourself. But you don't want to be thrown into a question where I have no idea what this is.
Right.
I can't even make an educated guess. That's a bad question.
Talk me through the process that you use for putting together your questions. I mean, this seems like a lot of work to come up with that many questions on a weekly basis.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening all the time. You pull from the news, you pull from social media, and you got to you fact check and semantics and
have you ever walked into something into a question and you thought you knew the answer to it, and then as you did the fact checking, you realized that everybody was wrong?
Oh, I've definitely had I've had situations where I've asked a question and there are multiple right answers. That is a nightmare. I try not to.
And you didn't. And you didn't know that ahead of time.
Or you kind of thought, or you just didn't think about it from a different perspective. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can think of a couple even recently, but it's kind of painful to talk about. I don't want to talk about it.
The pain. Okay, so like I said, you're going to start branching out, doing some more live shows here pretty soon, like in person. You're going to keep doing the online thing.
You know, the sky's the limit from after that. I mean, who knows what? I mean, we're working on a couple different models post-pandemic.
Right.
But we're not there yet, are we? We're not.
We're not post-pandemic, no.
So, you know, it'll be, you know, toe in the water as it comes too. I will say that, I mean, I've been entertaining in Eugene since probably 2008 or so, in some form or another, multiple forms.
Right.
And the people of Eugene have been so just supportive of any idea that I've put out, and even in the bad ones, you know, just like,
yeah, I mean, like, yeah, this town will support any idea.
Yeah, you want to have a Mr. Whitaker pageant?
Yeah,
that was it was a joke. I said, you know what would be funny? I was working at the Wandering Goat. And I was just making a coffee one day, and I was like, yeah, I just had a funny idea. You know what'd be funny? A Mr. Whitaker pageant. Get this. And I was like, can you make it happen? You mean you, like, actually do it? Yeah. How long do you need? Boom. Done. And we, like, and then we did, like, 8 of them or so.
Right. Yeah, and what was the – wasn't there some goofy prize the first year?
Gosh.
Wasn't it a lifetime subscription to Booze Week International Magazine?
That. Which, yeah. Let's see. There was a fella who did a lot of metal work with copper wire on the front on the patio there. And I was just like, hey, we're going to have this – Mr. Whitaker pageant, how do you feel about making a crown?
That is funny. So in addition to all those other shows and things like that that you used to do, do you have a plan for when all this crap is done, the pandemic is over? Do you have a plan to kind of launch, kickstart, like, getting back out and doing your live shows, and what do you think you need to do as a entertainer to get traction on that in the coming months, considering that there are going to be closed venues and venues that are trying to get jump started again?
Oh, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, we've got some new plans for post-pandemic for quality trivia, and to be honest, it does not involve me doing a lot of live shows. It's probably more like selling questions to venues and having them supply their own trivia hosts, or us put contracting out the work, and we'll just write the questions. A couple things I'd like to get back into. I really missed the Elliot Martinez show, the late night talk show. That was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, with a lot of, you know, mercenary work. I mean, it's a small army of people not getting paid anything, or very little, to put on a quality, late night talk show. And I miss doing that. Maybe even just some, it'd be fun to get into some sketch comedy.
You were just starting to pick up momentum on the Elliot Martinez late night talk show.
I feel like we were. We were also starting to lose some steam. I mean, there was a lot of work from a big crew of people, and we weren't seeing the kinds of results we wanted to see. But
looking for more audience, more. I know you were getting good turnout at the show.
Yeah, the live show. I mean, and really,
the live audience.
I wanted. That's where my focus was. Like, I want to do a killer live show, and I feel like we were there with that. Like, and the people that came to the show loved the show, kept supporting the show. But where was the outlet for that? And we were, we would get a good taping, but not a good audio recording, or vice versa. And it's just like. I never felt like we had a product, a package to present online. I didn't want people to. I didn't want it to be a kind of a scroll past kind of thing. I wasn't sure that social media was the place for it. On one hand, it was kind of for locals only. But at the same time, Eugene is, in some regards, an international destination in a lot of regards. And I thought that maybe this could be the voice of that.
Yeah, I came to two shows, I think, your first one and one other, and they were great. I had a blast. I absolutely had a blast. But I could see how difficult the production, it's an extensive operation to try to put on a 1 hour, hour and a half long variety show, and capture it and get it out to the world via the internet. I thought it was starting to get real smoothed out. You guys had worked out a lot of the bumps, but from a technical standpoint, you still hadn't really gotten to the point where you could sustain it in an easy way, where you didn't have to keep thinking of the technical stuff every week.
Exactly.
You could focus on the content, the guests, the questions, the entertainment aspect, right?
Right. That's where the focus was like, let's concentrate on just putting on a good show. Cause we started out at the Oregon Wine Lab. It was just you could only fit 30, 50 people in there, tops, and at the time. And there was no way to get a good sound, recording there in there. Cause it's a concrete, box,
right. But, it's concrete,
but for the live show, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We transformed the space. We had amazing guests, musical guests, and it was so intimate. It was a labor of love, as it were.
So I'm going to kind of get off task here a little bit, but what do you think you would need to do differently if you were going to reboot the Elliot Martinez late night talk show?
That's a good question. And not one that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. Honestly, I've been, more into the quality trivia mode in the last year here. I think a different way to go about it. And this is just me shooting from the hip here.
Sure.
Is to do more pre-recorded stuff, probably camp out like in the lobby of the Halt, like before a show or something, and do a little Jiminy Glick style red carpet
Right. Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun. Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope you end up rebooting that at some point, you know, once your quality trivia thing gets rolling the way you want it to and you kind of repackage what you're packaging. Are we, if quality trivia is going to kind of reinvent itself, are you planning on kind of getting out of the live entertainment and performance thing, or are you?
I think I would. I would do at least one, if not a couple shows a week. Still, like I, it's in my blood. I need to be in front of some kind of audience. And when oh, we didn't talk about this earlier, but when we went to the online show, it did remind me a lot of the radio days where you could be. You don't know who your audience is. Yeah, really. You know, you don't see them. You don't hear them. There's no feedback to you know, tell if your joke landed or not. It's just my own voice and the soundtrack, and that's it. I've come to kind of be okay with that. I can deliver a joke and move on, and, you know, I don't need that kind of gratification anymore. but I miss being in front of a live audience, and because of that, I will probably, as soon as bars start opening up, I'll probably be somewhere doing something.
Great. Well, Elliot, I appreciate you talking to me today. I want to remind our listeners that in the show notes, we'll put a link to Quality Trivia, Elliot's awesome, entertaining and fantastic kill time on a Wednesday night type thing. And if you want to follow up with him, I'm sure you can reach out to him. Please keep an eye out for Elliot Martinez out there, Quality Trivia. And Elliot, thanks again for talking to me.
Thank you, Adam. Stay strong, Eugene, and I'll see you on a Wednesday.
You will. You will. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
And now for some housekeeping. HugeCast would like to thank its contributors, volunteers, and sponsors. A huge thanks goes out to Mark Davis at Eugene Tech for providing guidance and enthusiasm, to Trefoya for providing equipment, space, beverages, and the occasional pizza, and to That Supergirl for providing web hosting. Our producer is Kimberly Noel. Music and soundscapes conceived by Mike Jones. Audio editors include Mike Jones and Christopher Mitchell. Audio engineer is Christopher Mitchell. HugeCast hosts are the amazing Adam Wendt and the delightful JoJo Jensen. If you like what you hear, please give us a review. 5 stars would be nice. And who knows, we might even read your comments during the show. So thanks for listening, or sleeping through it. Either way, thanks.